morning.
Morning.
I was thinking about our practice, the practice of Zen, and I was asking myself, what is the basic teaching of this practice? And I think traditionally we would use words like enlightenment, insight, at-one-ment to experience non-separation. And these terms, when I was thinking about it, going back through China and Japan, have been the traditional expressions, the traditional statements about what's the ultimate result of this practice. But the one word that is rarely, if ever, spoken, especially historically from all the teachers in this lineage going back thousands of years, the one word that's not really connected to the practice of Zen is the word love. I think as this practice spread west, the word started to be used more often. And so if I was to ask myself the question, what is the basic teaching of Zen? I would say it's to learn how to love. So let me just read a quick poem by my old friend Mary Oliver, which you've heard before, but I think that one way to understand this poem is as a love poem, and it's the poem called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for hundreds of miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, yours, and I will tell you about mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clean blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. This week, I was rounding up a number of the books that I read, poetry books and Zen books, particularly for talks, and I have several different places where they are. There's at my desk, there are some books, and I have a box in my car that I carry them with me. And I decided that it was time to put them all together. So I was putting them back on the bookshelf. And one of the books was a book of poems by Mary Oliver. And it's all dog-eared, and it's got little papers marking different things. And there was this one paper that was bigger than the usual way that I would mark a page. So I took it out and I looked at it. And this statement was written on this paper, and it was the only thing that was written. And it says, to pay attention is the most basic form of love. To pay attention is the most basic form of love. Now, there was nothing there to tell me where this came from. So I was thinking about attention and love. And I want to tell this story again because I think it's such a lovely expression of attention manifesting as love. And this is a story about after World War II, after the Holocaust, this Jewish woman who worked with survivors of the Holocaust. And she worked with them, but she wasn't a clinician. She wasn't a psychologist or a psychotherapist or a social worker. She had worked in business, I think. And over time, many, many, many survivors of the Holocaust experience sought her out, and she was who she was learned through word of mouth. And people would travel at great lengths to come and see her. So I think it was a newspaper reporter interviewed one of the people that had traveled to come and see her. And so they asked her the question, what is it that brings you here? What is it about her? And this person said, she pays attention. She listens to me. And as I thought about it, paying attention in that way, that's an act of love. Now, true attention has no subject or object. There was no one paying attention and no one being paid attention to. It's not like the usual form of love that we're most familiar with, where we just long for this person who we're so in love with. And hopefully they long for us. But that's a relationship. That's a form of love that's based on self and other. So that's why we say the love that we're talking about, that's the basic teaching of Zen, has no subject and has no object. Right? It's just attention, just like the Jewish lady. Just attention, just sitting across from a survivor and listening, offering the gift of attention. So this non-subject object attention is what I would call intimate attention. So if you think about it, when there is no subject and no object, what is there? There is nothing but one, oneness at one moment. There's no separation, no separate self. And the emotion of this experience, of this expression, is love. If we sit with somebody totally open, or as we would say, from a place of not knowing, just listening, I think the emotional response that comes up is always the experience of love. So if you think about it, if we pay attention moment to moment, right? Attention, moment to moment, selfless attention, we will fall in love. And we will fall in love with that moment. And if we can have the experience of falling in love with one moment after another, over and over and over again, each moment becomes an opportunity to express and experience love. And when this happens also, in each moment, our heart will open and joy and tenderness will flow through us. It's very sweet, this form of love. And so really, love is the deepest expression of oneness, and compassion is love in action. And love has no location, right? Love is everywhere, just waiting to be revealed. This is a line by Rumi. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. And what are those barriers? Those barriers are years of conditioning, years of totally over and over again reinforcing ourselves as a separate self. You know, I talked about this before. Every morning we look in the mirror. Ah, that's Carl. Carl is different than Jeff. So this creates these barriers that get in the way of the experience of that one-ment, that deep, intimate form of love. You know, so when the barriers fall away, if we do our work, if we do our zazen, and sometimes work out of the zendo, psychotherapy kind of work, if we do those things, the barriers fall away. And then we experience what it means. We experience what it means that love is everywhere. Now, another thing about love is that love includes everyone, even our enemies. Martin Luther King often said to love our enemies. Jesus was known for saying we should love even our enemies. So loving someone, realizing that they are us, doesn't mean that we accept evil actions. Right? This is one of the hardest things to come to terms with in love. How can you love your enemy? Look at how horrible they are. Look at how mean they've been. They've left me. They've bullied me. They've treated me badly. Right? All of those things, those actions, those evil actions. How can we love? You know, but we can love someone and at the same time protect ourselves from their actions. And this is understanding that love is the same as at one-ment, that we can be at one with our enemies. We can still be open-hearted and protect ourselves. When we stop loving, we lose touch with our connection to all things. And if we lose this connection, our response to our enemies may arise from hatred or ignorance and producing more evil. And this becomes the karma that we create and pass down. If we respond from a place of love, even if it means protecting ourselves, that will set in motion a particular form of karma, which will be passed down. If we do it from a place of separation, the karma we create will be very different. But we have responsibility for the karma that we create. Each of us is responsible for the karma that we create, brought about by our thoughts, actions, speech. If we practice Zazen regularly, though, little by little, the disconnected way we live in the world softens, and who we are slowly expands outward, and disconnection slowly becomes connection. So we have a responsibility to others, I think, to work to live a life from connection, and in doing so, create less bad karma, less harmful, hurtful karma. And in order to be able to do that, as I said, we have to stay in touch with our fundamental connection, with that oneness, which whose emotional expression is love. Now, many of us have already had this direct experience of love that arises from intimate connection. And just a few simple ones would be a mother nursing an infant. Just imagine a mother holding in her arms and nursing an infant. Now, that is a very direct, intimate expression of love. You know, imagine that, that love and tenderness that she must feel, right, which arises out of it at one minute. So, two old men helping each other up a stairs leading into a building. Right? Two old men helping each other up the stairs. And those moments of doing that was at one moment. And I believe that even if they weren't aware of it, they were loving each other. Even something as simple as letting someone into traffic, even though we're late for a meeting. This is an expression of selflessness, no self, which is the same as saying at one moment. So that simple act, which arises out of not being selfish, is an act of love. So you might look at me and say, well, Carl, that's easier said than done. And you're right. This path is not easy. And many times we fall on our face. But there's a saying in Zen which is, knock down 7 times, get up 8. It's sort of part of our practice is to keep getting up, to keep going back to our breath over and over again. And one of the ways that we support each other in getting up is belonging to a community of like-minded people, all of whom are on the same path. And in Buddhism, we call this a sangha. And it can be a very powerful way to express mutual support for our journey. You know, over time, and I think we've all had this experience, the sangha can be a powerful and safe container from which to do our work, our spiritual work. And as part of a sangha, we help each other. We help each other up when we have fallen down. We make it a safe place to be vulnerable enough to surrender the barriers within ourselves that we have built against love. And the sangha is a place where we can discover the love that is beyond words. So to really love, we must allow the self to include everything, including ourselves. Loving ourselves is not left out. Everything is love. Everywhere is love. So just to end, you know, in Zen, we do this quite often. It's called gassho. We put our hands together and we bow to each other. And traditionally what that means is I am bowing to the Buddha in you and you are bowing to the Buddha in me. But I like to see it also as when I bow, I'm saying I love you, which is honoring the connection. It's sort of the same thing, but using a different word. And if you bow back to me, you're saying I love you. So I'd like to just have you keep that in mind the next time you gassho to somebody. I love you. I love you. So by ending, I love you.